Blog Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm out to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I would.
Fred Hatton, Fred Hatton Jr., Chairman Fred is in the building, man. Appreciate you coming out to fuck with him in the building. I see y'all out there, man. I just want y'all to know one motherfucking thing. I would never, ever violate the codes in the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't.
Heads up, eyes open, the fist clenched. Face and we get some of this shit. This should be the chairman checking in. Now, when I say cold to the sea, we talking about the path of clubs. Like the party clubs, that is. I would never violate the cold of the sea. Would never speak nor serve the interests of our enemies. And if I say that I'm with you, we'll come get you. You best believe that like bad luggage, we'll never leave. Now, of course, I can never say that I never will go broke. Because sad to say that we ain't never had this shit roll, well, I can never say how it's gonna go. One thing for sure, two things for certain. They know to shut up motherfuckers like us, they gonna have to kill us. Close up in the casket, read a quick verse and close the motherfucking curtains.
Never be sad, I would, I like a hoe. Never been drunk, I'll never let it slide, never let it go. Never ever, never ever ever, no. Get on my level, hoe, or go get a shovel, hoe. It's never in question for my manhood, I get down. I'll never switch, never stick, never sit down. I never hesitate to squeeze a nigga six rounds. I'll never squat to take a piss, who's the bitch now?
I would never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I would never sell my soul. Never put bullshit over business and never place good upon the evil. You see, why I'm determined to die before being dishonored. Committed to being captured and killed before being capitulated. And that would be perfect and pushing this shit to the motherfucking limit. And if need be, pull the motherfucking trigger with a pistol without no hesitation. I will pass the cover to my last breath, to my last goddamn roar. And we'll never forget what them pigs did at 4:35 a.m. in 1969 Chicago on December the 4th. Never, never, never.
I never ran, I never will, I ain't never scared. It's in my bloodline, the realest nigga ever bred. And that's some of the realest shit that I done ever said. And I can die, but through my lyrics, I ain't never dead. I never disrespect my mama, never disrespect her mama neither. I never turn my back on Jesus. I never get caught off in the system, I believe her. Man that follows man, ain't a man, and I'm a leader.
I will never cross my comrades and never forsake our fight for freedom. And if you listen to my second verse, let me say it again just in case y'all want to listen. I will never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I will never disrespect the legacy of Minister UEP. Never betray the Black Panther Party. And never bow down and lay down a legacy at the feet of our enemies. Never, never, never. I am a Panther cub by birth and by battle. This is my bloodline and my prison time. And when it be, by wherever enemy, if they try to hijack this legacy, wherever it be, not on our watch. But we'll never, never, never have it. Never, 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 never.
Never gonna turn cold, my nigga. I can never trade. I never cross my homies out. That ain't how I'm made. And I never had not one regret on how I was raised. I'm from the ghetto where I slung and rapped it every day. Never do no other way. This ain't gonna never change. Never gonna bite my tongue. Fuck what a nigga say. 100 with myself. I swear to God I stay the same. And when I finally got my paper, I was on my game. Never talk a nigga down. Do your thing, dawg. Never hate a dude for trying. That's the same, dawg. Get your motherfucking money. That's the same, dawg. Too many homies die young. Feel my pain, y'all.
October 23rd, 24th, 2016. All roads lead to Oakland, California. Lonely legacy of Black Panther Party. Protected, respected, and never, never neglected. Never, never.
Thank you.
riddle in the mid.
Next person I'm introduced, I might as well see my little brother, because I get a bin, he get a bin. I get a roll, he get a roll. I get a jag, he get a jag. Anyway, I want everybody to give a big welcome for Tupac.
Hey, before we go into the song, I know everybody love their mama, but I want to talk about something else first. I want to talk about the people that don't have their mama no more, because we all sometimes forget to appreciate our mother. But like my little homeboy Mutar, he don't got no mother today. While we all shedding smiles and being happy, they can't be happy because they don't got no mama. While Danny Boy, he's singing off for all of y'all mama. Danny Boy out here making everybody feel good. He ain't got no mama to hug him. We got to get back to that old school shit where we all care for everybody and all of us raise all these kids because we all out of hand. So last year about this time, I was sitting in a maximum security penitentiary. I couldn't sing this song for my mama, but I'm going to do it today for all y'all and all y'all moms. Dear mama, Peter. When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the street. So back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school and scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. And shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poorer than the other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, same drama when things went wrong, we blame mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who think in elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whooping to my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, ain't no way I could pay you back. Look here, my plan to show you how I understand. Mom, you all appreciate it.
Don't you know I love you?
And dear mama, hey, check this out, put your hands in the air if you love your mama. Let me see. Just wave your hands in the air if you love your mama. Raise your hands in the air. Just dear mama. Ain't nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away, but I didn't cry. Cause my anger couldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless. But all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung out with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young nigga love. I moved out and started really paying. I needed money on my own, so I started slanking. But I ain't guilty, cause even though I sell rock, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. And I love paying rent with the rent due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was young, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I could see you after school trying to make dinner. Fix us a hot plate. Just working with the scraps you was giving. Cause mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. Trying to raise two bad kids on your own. Ain't no way I could pay you back. But my plan to show you that I understand. RG, appreciate it.
I know I'm doing something, Mom. Ask you what you do. You want to plug your damn thing? Yeah. Everything just cut off.
Next person I'm introduced, I might as well see my little brother, because I get a bin, he get a bin. I get a roll, he get a roll. I get a jag, he get a jag. Anyway, I want everybody to give a big welcome for Tupac.
Hey, before we go into the song, I know everybody love their mama, but I want to talk about something else first. I want to talk about the people that don't have their mama no more, because we all sometimes forget to appreciate our mother. But like my little homeboy Mutar, he don't got no mother today. While we all shedding smiles and being happy, they can't be happy because they don't got no mama. While Danny Boy, he's singing off for all of y'all mama. Danny Boy out here making everybody feel good. He ain't got no mama to hug him. We got to get back to that old school shit where we all care for everybody and all of us raise all these kids because we all out of hand. So last year about this time, I was sitting in a maximum security penitentiary. I couldn't sing this song for my mama. But I'm going to do it today for all y'all and all y'all moms. Dear mama. Peter. Oh. When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the street. So back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school and scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. And shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poorer than the other little kids. And even though we had this and that, same drama when things went wrong, we blame mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who think in elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whooping to my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, ain't no way I could pay you back. Look here, my plan to show you how I understand. Mom, you all appreciate it.
Amen. Don't you know I love you,
and dear mama,
amen.
Hey, check this out, put your hands in the air if you love your mama. Let me see. Just wave your hands in the air if you love your mama. Raise your hands in the air. Just dear mama. Ain't nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy because the coward wasn't there. He passed away, but I didn't cry. Because my anger couldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless. But all along I was looking for a father. He was gone. I hung out with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young nigga love. I moved out and started really paying. I needed money on my own, so I started slang. But I ain't guilty, cause even though I sell rock, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. And I love paying rent with the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was young, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I could see you after school trying to make dinner. Fix us a hot plate. Just working with the scraps you was giving. Cause mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone, trying to raise two bad kids on your own. Ain't no way I could pay you back, but my plan to show you that I understand. RG, appreciate it.
He was talking about Chairman Fred. If he was arguing about whose prisoners were going to belong to the state's attorney, police, the Chicago pigs, or what. Eventually, they handcuffed us and took us out. I was taken out the front door and had to walk past the body of Defense Captain Mark Clark laying on the floor in a pool of blood. I didn't look towards our bedroom because I didn't know how I would respond to what I would see. But when I saw Defense Captain Mark Clark, I'm steady reciting the 10-point program and platform in my head to keep focused, to not go off on a tangent. They arrested us in charges with attempted murder, aggravated assault. That was supposed to be the period on that end of that sentence. That was going to be it. They paraded the body of Chairman Fred laying in a pool of blood, laying on a door that they had pulled and laid down. They called it a barricade, but it was against the wall in the kitchen to keep the rats from running through. They pulled Chairman Fred, laid his body there. When I got to the pig station, they was like, Chairman Fred is dead. They was laughing and giggling and shit. But you know what? Even though nobody here can really tell me what this thing called freedom, called self-determination, like, we know we ain't supposed to be living like this. That did not end the struggle, and I am honored and proud. This year, I just turned 69, y'all, to be able to be on the advisory board of the Black Panther Party, Cubs, and I am so honored, honored to be involved in the struggle. Even now, I don't know what I would be doing.
Hello. President Trump reportedly grew frustrated during immigration discussions in the Oval Office Thursday and responded with an expletive. According to the Washington Post, the president complained about the U.S. taking immigrants from African countries and Haiti. Mr. Trump asked why people from those countries were coming to America.
Coincidental capitalism. Strange incidental imperialism. Is it happenstance how many white folk faces happen to be seen as saviors? Some may call it conspiracy theory. However, logically speaking, one could just take a brief look at history. World gangsters and banksters front like they philanthropists. The same motherfuckers that's been concentrating on conquering us play like they suddenly give a fuck about us. The Red Cross and other U.S.-controlled crime bosses exploiting our emotions and capitalizing off our crimes. See, it's big business in banning black bodies. In other words, some motherfuckers benefit every time one of us dies. You see, the system has written the script, and it's how it's supposed to go. We kumbaya our ass, the cast can dance to our damn death. While preachers, politicians, and pied pipers tell us to bow our heads and close our eyes and surrender, oh surrender, till you have another damn thing left. They shoot us, then display us as looters. Then they break in the UN and the rest of the U.S. friends. Black water forces who now go under the new name of Z. Whom like a fatal disease, once they get in, it'll never plan on leaving. With friends like these, who in the fuck needs enemies? Now it seems like every time they fuck us, we forgive them. And when they don't kill us and just capture us, we somehow, some twisted form of fashion, thank them for letting us live. Through their policies, practices, and propaganda, they've even duped us to believe that everything that's happening bad to black folks is because some of the shit that we done did. Or even more sinister and deeper than that, they done damn it declared as a matter of fact that God himself been determined to do us in. Katrina ain't killed nobody, America did. For a sign that we get credit where credit is due. And for those of you that say here he comes again, blaming the government and white folks, I say goddamn if the crime fixed, lace up the motherfucking shoes. Rupert Murdoch, Fox, and the rest of them media motherfuckers who control them idiot boxes ain't nothing but another division of the pigs, whose directive is to be sure the fourth feed is nothing but falsehood and hogwash. This shit's so sickening, seeing the images on how they be portraying us. They're the same ones that's coming to slay us, putting out to the world, goddammit, they come to save us.
President Trump tonight ignoring questions. His outrage grows after his vulgar insult calling African nations assholes.
Haiti, the land of my brother man and my sister woman. Now the ones that kicked Napoleon's ass. The land of sugarcane and Africans. The land in which they enslaved and votes. The ones that the International Monetary Fund left with a debt in order to keep them broke. The country in which in 1983 a despot by the name of Duvalier was validated by the Pope. The land in which machetes met the gringo's throat. And the ones that provided inspiration to the black folks throughout the globe in 1804. The ones that imperialists have never forgiven for committing the quote-unquote crime of refusing to be colonized. The land of...
Fremont, tell me you're in. Fremont, you're in. Live, live. We live. Happy birthday to Mother Comrade. I'm gonna call back in a minute. I'm at another event. Real quick, we just want to have it clear up. Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. Let me call y'all right back. Happy birthday, Mama Conrad. This next Wednesday, November 29th, we're gonna be celebrating her birthday. At 113th Racine. Y'all, whatever love offers y'all gonna send to Mama Conrad. Cash, Dollar Sign, and Alicia Sims. I'm going to enjoy the call back in a minute. Love, respect. Happy birthday, Mother Comrade. Celebrate today. Appreciate you. Love, respect. I'm going to try to call back in a minute, Charles. Hear them all.
Hello. President Trump reportedly grew frustrated during immigration discussions in the Oval Office Thursday and responded with an expletive. According to the Washington Post, the president complained about the U.S. taking immigrants from African countries in Haiti. Mr. Trump asked why people from those countries were coming to America.
Coincidental capitalism. Strange incidental imperialism. Is it happenstance how many white folk faces happen to be seen as saviors? Some may call it conspiracy theory. However, logically speaking, one could just take a brief look at history. World gangsters and banksters front like they philanthropists. The same motherfuckers that's been concentrating on conquering us, playing like they suddenly give a fuck about us. The Red Cross and other U.S.-controlled crime bosses, exploiting our emotions and capitalizing off our crimes. See, it's big business in banning black bodies. In other words, some motherfuckers benefit every time one of us dies. You see, the system has written the script, and it's how it's supposed to go. We kumbaya our ass in the cask and dance to our damn death. While preachers, politicians, and pied pipers tell us to bow our heads and close our eyes and surrender, oh surrender, till you have another damn thing left. They shoot us, then display us as looters. Then they break in the UN and the rest of the U.S. friends. Black water forces who now go under the new name of Z. Whom like a fatal disease, once they get in, they'll never plan on leaving. With friends like these, who in the fuck needs enemies? Seems like every time they fuck us, we forgive them. And when they don't kill us and just capture us, we somehow, some twisted form of fashion, thank them for letting us live. Through their policies, practices, and propaganda, they've even duped us to believe that everything that's happening bad to black folks is because some of the shit that we done did. Or even more sinister and deeper than that, they done damn it declared as a matter of fact that God himself been determined to do us in. Katrina ain't killed nobody, America did. For a sign that we get credit where credit is due. And for those of you that say here he comes again, blaming the government and white folks, I say goddamn if the crime fixed, lace up the motherfucking shoes. Rupert Murdoch, Fox, and the rest of them media motherfuckers who control them idiot boxes ain't nothing but another division of the pigs, whose directive is to be sure the fourth feed is nothing but falsehood and hogwash. This shit's so sickening, seeing the images on how they be portraying us. They're the same ones that's coming to slay us, putting out to the world, goddamn it, they coming to save us.
President Trump tonight ignoring questions as outrage grows after his vulgar insult calling African nations assholes.
Haiti, the land of my brother man and my sister woman. Now the ones that kicked Napoleon's ass. The land of sugarcane and Africans. The land in which they enslaved and votes. The ones that the International Monetary Fund left with a debt in order to keep them broke. The country in which in 1983 a despot by the name of Duvalier was validated by the Pope. The land in which machetes met the gringo's throat. And the ones that provided inspiration to the black folks throughout the globe in 1804. The ones that imperialists have never forgiven for committing the quote-unquote crime of refusing to be colonized. The land in which the women who were forced to be bedwarmers took master the bed and the grave and guaranteed, goddammit, to never again would he get up. The sons and daughters who went without water for days and days under the concrete never gave up. Some have viewed you as simply a slave stock. However, through the eyes of the colonized and international struggle for independence, you, with the minimum, have given us such a lot. Like surgical strikes, the mamas and papas I did away with. And as in the case of the Aborigines in Australia, we become forced to witness our children become open season for white folks' pickings.
President Trump reportedly grew frustrated during immigration discussions in the Oval Office Thursday and responded with an expletive. According to the Washington Post, the president complained about the U.S. taking immigrants from African countries in Haiti. Mr. Trump asked why people from those countries were coming to America.
And let's be perfectly clear that inclusive in they is the United States. Have attempted to do you in through dope, disease, debt, and dictators. You have been boldly denied entry into this country, while you have literally seen the easy entries of your more fair-skinned neighbors. Now the same ones that produced the Papa Doc and Baby Doc, hard as it may be to believe, got their hands on some of the technologies that considers the child's play with creating earthquakes and aftershocks, guns, grenades, malaria, AIDS, and other chemical agents, and weather warfare. Now, let's just name a few of the tools they done used. Now, your mind will be blown if you get them to know the motives of those that have interest in the population control. In fact, in the spirit of modern-day slavery, they see the world as a stock market in which you are viewed as a share. Many of us couldn't even imagine the motives of these motherfuckers and their mass murderers. Like, why would the World Health Organization implement practices in order to decrease the world population? And how does China, Great Britain, America, and her allies benefit of there being tragedies and devastation? Nah, if this appears to be merely nothing but ancient history, what powers that be? Was it goddamn not too long ago that kicked in the doors and blatantly told the former president in Haiti to leave? And what system and interest of mass murder made mass victims and had them sniffing formaldehyde in FEMA trailers that would get them in nothing more than modern-day gas chambers in New Orleans?
President Trump tonight ignoring questions as outrage grows after his vulgar insult calling African nations assholes.
In Haiti, was it coincidentally that initially the Israelis were the only entity with the ability to operate a medical facility? And who was it that deemed that across seas with the Iraqi, that a former VP by the name of Dick Cheney and his cohort from Halliburton controlled all of the contracts and had previously had run the same racket domestically down in New Orleans? When Napoleon's brother-in-law, Leclerc, sent word to the resistance to relinquish their swords, Jean-Jacques Dessalines sent back the following words. Coup d'etat pour le quai. In other words, this is what he had to say. Up with their heads and burn their houses.
Wish I can open up them gates and see my dog. I'm still yet to see no more. I know a couple real ones stranded on their yard. You know one day we gon' come. All they wanna do is see us fall. All my niggas ride fully loaded, 10 toes for me in the heat of war. Money, baby, you my Mia Mo. Free my niggas and free some more. Fuck the judge with a sick dick, but a nigga hate kills even more. Evil souls, nowadays gotta keep it close. That's all my life, we're full of wrong, it's hard to do right. Until I get on, you know I'ma grind. Yeah, put a little nigga on ice. Yeah, do you remember the nights? Yeah, nigga was hustling, starving, trapped by the apartment, pumping that pack, I was starving. Open up them gates and see my dog. Yeah, I'm still yet to see no more. I know a couple real ones stranded on their yard. Yeah, you know one day we gon' fall.
Free my dogs, free my dogs, free them all, free them all, free my dogs, free them dogs, free them dogs, free them dogs, free them all, free them all, free my dogs, free my dogs, free them all, free them all.
Hey, I'm yelling, free my dogs, it's forever, fuck the law. Middle fingers till they call my niggas ready for war. Cause we'll come through like some soldiers, we'll come through like we own it. Yeah, nigga, we own it, what's that?
What's that?
You don't want smoke, bitch. Free my niggas who is totin', free my niggas who lost focus. Real niggas won't focus, real niggas, they know they
know they know they.
With the pig to a wolf, with the rat to a wolf, that's a real small snack. Yeah, niggas know that. Once you cross that line, he'll not know.
I'm free, yeah, I'm free no more. I know a couple real ones stranded on their yard.
Open up the gates and free them all. My niggas, they was running from the jakes, but they got caught. The place that we involved, we was raised to beat some dogs. Bullet holes in the walls, niggas never had a cause. They thought it was because everybody in the gang. And you ain't cool till you catch a body. Living in the hood, remember good times. Smoking on the black, spin good rhymes.
Wish I can open up them gates and free my dog.
Yeah,
my dog. I'm still yet to free no more.
My dog.
I know a couple real ones stranded on their yard.
Yeah,
you know one day we gon' find.
Free my dogs, free my dogs, free them all, free them all, free my dogs, free them dogs, free them dogs, free them dogs, free them all, free them all, free my dogs, free my dogs, free them all, free them all, free them all.
Hands up, eyes open, and fists clenched. Now, although this was initially written and scripted when I was in prison, for a young lady who had just turned 19 years old, 8.5 months pregnant, carrying me on December the 4th. In which the Chicago police came in blasting, blazing the raid on a cold-ass morning on the west side of Chicago. With the pigs pressing their pistols upon her protruding pregnant belly. My prenatal care, as opposed to a stethoscope, would be department issued 30 revolvers as well as their personal 4-folds. My maternity ward coming close to being my casket, and my mother-to-be being my jail cellie. You see, my birth certificate, damn, it was deemed my death certificate. And although it may seem personal, let it also be deemed as political. For I dedicate this to my mother as well as the mothers beyond my reach. For as the people's pain reflects, we cannot afford the luxury to simply speak as individuals. And with that being said, this is from Young Chairman Fred. Lock and load, the mother old. You think I forgot? Well, I think not. From the pyramids to the plantation, from the sharecropping and segregation, to the old earth from us deep. Yes, indeed, you carried me. See, in Africa, I rolled your back and on a plantation of potato sacks. Whatever the case, you held me tight. Kept me close to those winter nights. Matriarchs and mothers and queens and nannies. Big mamas and dear mamas, Geronimo's and grannies. Healers of sickness who addressed the business. With no need for traveling, homemade healthcare. From common colds or frequent flus to champions of childbearing. Continuously connected to this cold, hard system. And my cries were denied, you was the only one that was listening. I didn't play no diss and mama would play in the dozens. But it wouldn't be no me if she ain't gave daddy no love. Through the hard times and struggles, discomforts and pains, the cold nights, beans and rice, mayo jars with Kool-Aid. Yeah, I did my share of stupid stunts, fuck-ups, and cutting up in class. You showed tough love and had no hankles about tapping that ass. And with those high times we had in my mind remains. First days of school and surprise birthday. She's been trying to divide us from hectic times throughout the history. From miles to selling me off to the day with baby tea. You produce pyramids, taught tribes, and gained names and nations. You are not only my mother, but the mother of civilization. Those are your children in Kenya, the descendants in Dominican. You breastfed me in Botswana and kept me clothed in Ghana. Whenever they beat me down, you told me, son, stand up. You said all of me and fall down, but great men get up. And they came and framed me and placed me behind these walls. You knew the business, prison business, and collect phone calls. From the womb to the tomb, from the belly to the grave. From foreign to the glass, prison blues and shackles and chains. I love you dearly, miss you really, and that ain't never gonna change. Gonna change.
Fieldmarshal, heads up, eyes open, and clenched fist. This is Deputy Field Marshal checking in, stepping in for Tim McFred and Robin Allen, a.k.a. the Lady of Rage. We right here. We celebrating Mama Comrade, Akua and Jerry. My birthday coming up, November the 28th. Chairman going to tune back in and let you know what we have in the celebration for. I didn't get all that information, so excuse me, Chairman's at an event today, I believe in Houston right now. But, yeah, we have y'all call us. That's on here. Y'all want to tune in, press 1 to be heard. If you got anything to say, we got a cash app for Mama Comrade, too, as well. For if you want to send anything for her birthday, which is we're not begging, but she definitely deserves it. Cash app is the dollar sign Alice Alicia Sims. This and put birthday offering. That's cool for that. If y'all do that, and if y'all don't know who Mama Comrade is. Who Mama Comrade is, Deborah, formerly known as Deborah Johnson. She's the widow of Chairman Fred Hampton Sr., who sat on the Finance Committee of the Illinois Chapter of the Black Panther Party, who also covered over Chairman while the Pigs, Chicago Pigs, was gunning them down December 4th, 1969. That's just a little bit. December 4th, we're going to have International Revolutionary Day, and you can hear from her mouth when she do the virtual tour, everything. There's only so much that I can say, though. And we love you, Mama Comrade. We love you so much. Thank you for continuing the fight and fighting that you did. Man, we came back from South Dakota. We got a new sister, Counter Hoos Manual, too, as well, when we came out there and did that. So, yeah, I just wanted to check in with y'all one time in this break. Let me see, my bad. Last minute notice, y'all. My bad. Getting back with y'all. We celebrate Mama Comrade on here on this episode today of Free 'Em All Radio. So like I said, any callers on the line, if y'all want to tune in, press 1 so you can be heard at any time. We'll bring you back in. On that note, I'm going to put some more fans on here because I wanted to schedule actually to host the show today. Just giving y'all a PSA, a people service announcement about what's going on right now. So let's see. Oh, hold on. We got somebody pressing 1. I'm going to bring them in. Welcome to Free 'Em All Radio. Free 'Em All. Who we got?
Free 'Em All. This right here, Hall. Yeah, let's talk about the issues here in the county jail. Chairman Fred, I got a few guys that want to say a few things as well. You know what I'm saying?
Right on, you said this.
Should I bring them in? Huh?
Yeah. You said you called it for the county jail. Yeah. Let's bring them in. But Chairman Fred, now this W. Field Marshal, G.O. right here. Chairman Fred, he coming in back. And he multitasking right now.
All right.
He had another event that he's speaking in, but you're on the radio, and we want to hear what's going on besides in them concentration camps. You know what I'm saying? So what's going on? This Free 'Em All Radio, let the callers know who you is and what's going on.
Greetings, greetings, greetings and peace, greetings and peace. This is Dr. Chester Ray Moore. What's up, Chairman?
Freedom all, this is Deputy Field Marshal. How you doing, Chairman of the Air? I'm standing here for Chairman right now. This is Deputy Field Marshal Giotto.
Doing good, sir. You know, brother was saying to me, you know, share with me the fact that, you know, there's a lot of people in your listening audience who are not abreast of some of the things that are going on behind these walls, you know. Hello? Hello?
Yes, sir. I apologize. But I hit the mute button on accident. How you doing, Fremont? Can you hear me?
Fremont. Hey, this is Dr. Chester Ray Moore. What's up, Chairman? How you doing? We on?
Yes, indeed. Yes. Yeah, we on. We live and direct. We live. It's Deputy
First
Marshal. You can go ahead and speak, sir.
Stop. This is
Hello? Hello?
Yes, sir. We hear you loud and clear. Go ahead. Yep.
Yeah, hey, like I said, it's Dr. Chester Ray Moore, and one thing about me, I've been locked up in these dismal crypts, you know what I'm saying, for 30 years, you know, from downstate in the IDOC, now I'm presently in Cook County Jail, you know. I see myself as a man of solutions more so than a man of problems. While there are millions and millions of things that one can complain about in regards to what's going on in regards to why mass incarceration is such a reality, one thing that has stood out to me over the years is a concerted effort on the part of the administration to keep brothers and the blind brothers into the realities of the powers of the law, the powers of the pen. Mm-hmm. We all know that the pen is mightier than the sword. You know what I'm saying? If you don't believe me, you can think about World War I. There was bullets flying, people dying every day, but the war was ended by the Treaty of Versailles when people put pen to paper. The bullets couldn't stop the pens, but the pen stopped the bullets. You know what I'm saying? We live in a place now to where our access to the law, our access to learning the law, our access to the power of the law is being limited more and more every day. I look around me every day. They want to give brothers 5 minutes to try to get an understanding of what's going on and how to fight their case and how to litigate and how to make change, positive change, change for themselves, change for the people, you know. But when you sit up and you limit our access to the means of...
You have 1 minute remaining.
That's the greatest of limitations. And those are the things that need to be removed. Hold on 1 second.
Yes, sir.
Can we call you back, Chairman?
Yes, sir. You can call back in. Press 1 when y'all ready so we know.
All right. We'll do 1 second. Hey, hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Free ball.
Yeah. I'll get you right back, all
right? All right.
Thank you for using Global Telling.
I'm going to play this part for you right quick. For the brother called.
It's going to be some stuff you're going to see that's going to make it hard to smile in the future. But through whatever you see, through all the rain and the pain, you got to keep your sense of humor. You got to be able to smile through all this bullshit.
Thoughts slowly, upon phrases I
gun. I often wish that I could save everyone, but I'm a dreamer. Have you ever seen a nigga who was strong in the game? Overlooking his tomorrows and it finally came. Look back on Jawas for a reason, I'm still feeling the same. Turning circles in my ninth grade, dealing cocaine. Too many houses in my local life, vibes are strange. And a man without a focus life drives me insane. Stuck inside a ghetto fantasy, hoping it changed. But when I focus on reality, we broken and changed. Had a dream of flipping wealthy and making it big. Over football, told to cook raw and taking it big. And after all, my mama's thanking God for blessing the child. All my mama got to do now is collect it and smile. Smile. Seeds, unanswered questions, keep us all stressed, a curious G. Backstabbed and bleeding, crooked thoughts, laced with weed. Learning, ducking straight shots, bullets be hot, stay burning, inhaling sherm smoke. Visualize the flames, well I've been smothered by my own pain. Strange witches, cowards conversate, so quick to distance. Taking pictures for the feds and desperate hopes they get it. Hit us all, give us plenty centuries, forgive my sins. Since I ended many penitentiaries, the best revenge is fuck friends. We military minds, soldiers, busting shots blindly. Trying to find Jehovah to help me, somebody save me. Lost and crazy, scared to drop a seed, hoping I ain't cursing my baby. Maybe now, niggas feel me now, pitching my pain. Embrace my words, make the world change. Still I smell, nigga.
Now a moment of silence. Let us pray. And as you journey into outer space, may the angels help to lead the way. May the prayers that our families make shine upon your soul and keep it safe. And all the homies that have passed away, and as you head to the tunnel's light, I hope it leads to eternal life. We say a prayer for the homie Pop.
Over the chairman, just turned 18 years old, 8.5 months pregnant with a young Chairman Fred in her belly. When the police came in there gunning up to assassinate our chairman of defense, Captain Mark Clark, they hit Mr. Dark the most times in there. Over 100 rounds was going in. It was a shoot-in, not a shootout. Only one shot came out the house from after they assassinated Defense Captain Mark Clark through the door. They shot him through the door. Hit him in his heart, and his shotgun went straight up in the air. But back on Mama Colored, man, she's still been holding the line through then. Thick and thin, rain, sleet, and snow, whether she feel well or not, she's still coming every December 4th, every August 30th, giving us the layout of what went down. You know what I'm saying? So we appreciate you, Mama Conrad. Real talk. We appreciate you. Happy birthday early. Like what y'all just tuning in, it's the 28th of November. Oh snap! I just realized we both sides too, Mama Conrad. Yes indeed. But yeah, any callers on deck, press 1 to be heard. We waiting on our guys from the camp to call back in. In the concentration camp, I'm not familiar with Cappy City. I think they just hit back in. To bring him back in. Free him all. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Free him all.
Chapman.
Free them all, yo.
Free them all. Hello.
Back on. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Let our callers know who you is again for those who just tuning in.
This is Dr. Cesare Moore. We're a little bit pressed for time under the circumstances that we're in, you know. I've been in these prison systems. Yes, sir. I'm calling you from Cook County Jail, you know what I'm saying? And I'm back in Cook County Jail in an effort to attain my freedom after being incarcerated for 30 years.
Man,
I speak from a unique perspective of being from the prisons back to the county jail, and I've seen things, I've seen changes, and I've seen things get worse. I've seen different texts be used at different times to prolong the incarceration of the brothers that's in places like this. But at the same time, I'm not necessarily a man of problems. I consider myself a man of solutions. You understand what I'm saying? And as I was saying before, one of the solutions to our problems is to learn how to effectively use the pen. But there's secrets to it. There's techniques to it. There's methodology to it. You understand what I'm saying? We've all heard the old saying that the pen is mightier than the sword, correct? And if you don't believe me, you can think about World War One. As I was saying before, you had bullets and bombs flying everywhere, but the bullets couldn't stop the pen, but the Treaty of Versailles was used to stop the bombs and the bullets, right? This is a demonstration of how the power of the law can be put into effect. Now, the thing with that is you would think that people would want us to use the pen. You would think that people would want us to know the law, to effectively be able to apply the law to our situations, because if you can fix things with the law, you can fix everything. Yes, or at least most things. We know that sometimes the efforts can seem to be in vain, but that's where endurance comes into play. You understand what I'm saying? And when it comes to using endurance in the law, the problem, particularly in this place, is access to the law. Now, I'm quite sure that there are administrators who would say that at every jail and every prison, you have a law library, right? And when it comes to the amount of time and so forth, and what it takes to actually learn how to use it, that's where my complaint begins. And the reality is, you can sit up here and simply say that the presence of a law library is legally all we have to give you in order to give you what it takes to navigate properly and litigate properly, right? But I would say that the simplicity of putting somebody in a law library and say, go for what you know, is no different than putting the common man at the helm of a rocket ship and say, good luck at getting to the moon. You know what I'm saying? The simplicity of having the access and having the power, you must have at least some basic instruction, some basic guidance. The simplicity of the fact that the law has a specialized dictionary means that it requires a specialized kind of knowledge to use it. And on some level, brothers ought to be guided, and at the very least, what's the first word you ought to look up in order to get started on the road? You would think that everybody would want everybody, not just those incarcerated, but for everybody to understand our rights, for everybody to understand the law, as it is written, so that we can have the morals, the morale, the meritorious means to wage our complaints against the things that we consider to be unjust, and which not just consider, but are unjust. You understand what I'm saying? People can go back and forth all the time with our complaints, but having a complaint is not the same thing as having a solution. I say, and you've known me for a long time, Chairman, I say that the power of the mind needs to be stimulated in regards to what the laws of the land are, not just the simplicity of what a stop sign means, not the simplicity of the whole notion of the golden rule of doing to others as you would have done unto you. You understand what I'm saying? But you have to actually know how these court systems work. You have to know the language of these things, and that, more than anything else, is being cut off from the mind of the masses, at least from my observation, not just here but in the IDOC as well. It's being discouraged at every point, you know, because of the fact that brothers were effectively using the law when it comes to lawsuits, litigation, and actually bringing about change. It's as though they wanted this process to slow down. And sometimes you have people look at the law as a liability, as an inconvenience, rather than something to be celebrated. That's where I have my issues for. That's one of the biggest things that I've seen. Now, I could go on and on about the simplicity of fact that, man, they feed us garbage in here. You know what I'm saying? They got a heavy sword diet. You know, they got brothers walking around here developing gynomastia. You know what I'm saying? You got brothers around here, you know what I'm saying, unhealthy brothers. You know, once upon a time, brother come in here and sharp, you know, he's sharp-minded, sharp-witted, you understand, and give him a year or two. And under these circumstances, you know, the brothers died or so poor, his brain ain't hardly functioning the way it once was. You know what I'm saying? These things can be settled and solved. Yes, sir. Yeah, most definitely.
Okay, let's count on that. You go in there one day and come out with your brains busted because the pigs, how they get down with you, get down on you.
You got that,
bro. I've been in them channels.
Yes, sir. You know what I'm saying? They want to take you way off into the boondock somewhere. We know how far most of us, especially in this area, coming out of Chicago, want to send you all the way down to Menard, way down in the pit. You know what I'm saying? Got to pass through places. And we understand that's part of the system. You know what I'm saying? It's part of what the system is. And the biggest way, the best way to defeat the system, you know what I'm saying, quite frankly, is not be part of that system. And when it comes to the so-called justice system, you know what I'm saying? At the same time, you know, I am an advocate. I'm an advocate for knowledge. I'm an advocate for understanding. I'm an advocate for wisdom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The laws of life are psychological. In order to have social and justice and conditional change, you must first have mind change. Not just your own mind, but sometimes you have to use your words and use your voice to change the minds of others.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Because while we can have each other's back, sometimes the greatest change can take place when you can convince and change the mind of somebody else. Somebody in your listening audience right here, right now, may hear the words that are coming out of my mouth and say, hey, this man deserves an ally. That man deserves an ally. My cousin deserves an ally. My brother deserves an ally. You understand?
Yeah, that's the true definition of a revolution. A revolution is gaining the minds and the hearts of the mass of the people. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's not about necessarily just getting a gun. You know what I'm saying? It's about to change the mindset, like you said. So I can agree with you with that. And also, Minister Huey P. News said, he said, information is raw material for new ideas. You know what I'm saying? So we need this information and all of that stuff and all that. Like, I mean, we know the law. To articulate it is another thing. You know what I'm saying? We know the law. We know that we ain't got no rights as blacks, technically, no matter how you write. And usually what they would do is they'll switch the law on us once we learn it. So we got to be on our toes all the time with this. So I feel you on that, brother. Yes, indeed.
And it's ironic when it comes to the whole notion of they can have a tendency of flipping the law. Notice it's called the practice of the law. So that means you never get to the point where your study is over. You got to stay on you. So it's a practice. It's not a completion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, as I'm looking around, you know, we see one thing in regards. I use the whole notion here in Illinois. We have what's upcoming. It's called the Safety Act. You know, there's a big old political hoopla about, you know, no cash bail. Oh, my God, you're going to let all of the criminals out. The crime is going to go through the roof. We saw all that during the political season here in Illinois, right? But the reality is, you know, that was a flipping of the law because bonds, for that matter, in Illinois were turned into ransoms.
I mean, that's what it is.
Bonds were turned into ransoms. You know what I'm saying? It turned into ransoms. And here it is.
We got
a brother.
We get kidnapped and held for ransom.
Straight up. You know what I'm saying? Here it is. Yeah. You're supposed to be innocent to be proven guilty. And you got a brother can sit up here. These people that found ways to finagle 6-7 years of a brother just sitting, or a sister, just sitting up in these dismal crypts.
Come on, now.
With
and
a ransom.
He can't court that can just, come on, now.
Yeah.
I know it.
And it's exhausted.
Out of resources and everything.
Yeah. You done destroyed families. You done bankrupted a brother. And then here it is, 7 years go by, and all of a sudden, not guilty. Oops, what you got? How am I going to get them 7 years back?
Man.
You know what I'm saying? But yet you have this system to where, and people talking about letting the bond was never meant to just hold people in prison pre-trial. If I was a multimillionaire and just bonded out, wouldn't nobody have a damn thing to say about it. But you get somebody
probably won't even see the jail.
And now you got 7 years out of this man, like 7 years he could have been raising his family, loving his wife, making money, and bettering his community, but you want to sit him up in these places. That's why one brother that I'm kind of, You know what, before I got here, one brother I'm proud of is Dr. Willie Wilson, who's running for mayor of Chicago. Right? I'm not saying this necessarily as an endorsement. I'm just speaking the truth in regards to what he did. He came up here and came up out of his own pocket and bonded brothers out to jail. Just to show, hey, man, if this is only a matter of money.
Mm-hmm.
money is corrupted.
We got them there in the first place. Being oppressed and being broke and not having no money is probably what got them there in the first place.
You know, the Bible, people say the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. I remember a Reverend Ike said that the lack of money is the root of all evil.
Come on now.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on now.
Real talk, you know? Real talk.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, again, I consider myself a man of solutions, not a man of problems, because we can hear problems and gripes all the time. But sometimes a solution needs to be articulated. And that being said, I believe one of the solutions would be to provide, especially on this side of the wall, on this side of the fence where I've been for the past 30 years, provide a basic program. If somebody can come in and say, hey, this is a legal dictionary. This is how you look up this law, that law. This is how you let them, how you prevent them. Malcolm X took an ordinary dictionary and turned himself into a genius. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can take a Black's Law Dictionary and turn yourself into a legal scholar. We need more of that. We need more of that. We need legal minds. We, you know, everybody has their lane. Everybody has their altitude. They are definitely frontline fighters. But you also need the brothers, you know what I'm saying? You need your businessmen. You need your frontline fighters. You need your legal minds. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
we need to all know how to unify our efforts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you go to a hospital, you have your emergency room physician. This is the man who handles the trauma that immediately comes through the door. But sometimes when you get past that, you have a podiatrist. You have an ear, nose, and throat specialist. You have a neurologist. People, there's nothing wrong with specializing. You understand what I'm saying? Specializing in how you can help create and better the health of the whole body.
Come on, man.
You understand what I'm saying? So, like I said, speaking from this side, brothers need to be educated, because once you get in, now the best way to, when it comes to the legal system, quite frankly, is to stay the hell out of it. You understand what I'm saying? That's just the raw truth. And that,
that's
work.
Saying like going outside and don't breathe when you're Black in America.
Especially in this day and age. So the plan two is, once you get here on this side, brothers need to at the very least have greater degree of access to the law and a greater degree
of guidance. What is your suggestion on us getting there? So you, I know you said you're a man of solution. So how can we on this side be able to do that, you know what I'm saying, for the brothers and sisters that's kidnapped in those camps that need those, you know, it's so much only you can do being behind that wall, you know what I'm saying? We got a little bit more freedom for that. So what can we do on this side to assist that, you know?
Here's how. For the brothers and sisters who are going to law school or working as paralegals, volunteer some of your time at a jail or a prison to come in and ask to teach a course. Volunteer your time and bring your presence in here. Teach brothers the difference between a state court, a federal court, precedents, a suggestive law. You understand what I'm saying? We need to know these things. And then I would be one thing I would love personally to do upon being released, which God willing it would be shortly, would be, you know what, I'm not just going to sit up here, hit the ground running, and go elsewhere. I look forward to having the opportunity to personally come back in and say, hey, brother, open up this book, The Fundamentals of Paralegalism. Let me walk through this with you. That's not the same as practicing law. That is not the same as practicing law, but brothers need some type of starting point. And anybody who has any actual knowledge of how the law begins, from criminal law, civil law, corporate law, there's nothing wrong with coming in, asking the sheriff of a county jail or the warden of a Department of Corrections, allow me to come in and teach a simple course. 7 weeks.
Now, I hear
change a man's life.
And we talk about this, the infamous Cook County, and these kids, man. To ask them for some toilet tissue, let alone ask them for some law. Nah. We both been there. We asking these, you in there? You know how it is, man. You asking for a toilet tissue right now. Like, how hard is it for you and your cell to get some toilet tissue, let alone assistance with the law and getting you up out of there from one of them?
That is true. That is true.
I believe that we
got to
put some pressure on this side. And kind of start on this side, and even with our youth,
teaching them before we get to this stage. You know what I'm saying? As well, that's just my opinion, and I hear what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? I feel you on that. It's just like it's hard because I'm actually me. Like I said, this Deputy Field Marshal, I'm stepping in for Tim. This Deputy Field Marshal, Gia. I'm still fighting cases right now where they steady constantly trying to put me on that side. So tomorrow I could be back there with you. You know what I'm saying? And I know it's hard over there, man. Just, I remember being in the for some tissue to blow my nose.
The water. That is very true.
You guys don't even have water back there. I was just back there. You don't have no water that you necessarily feel comfortable drinking.
Got that right. Lead is, there were lawsuits filed, lawsuits won. I don't know what the process, I don't know what
the
progress is, but there were lawsuits filed for lead in the water in Stateville.
Yeah.
There were lawsuits filed for lead in the water at Stateville. Right there in Joliet, Illinois.
We had Cassandra Greer working on that too. And we brought water down there, the Black Panther Party comes with the sister Cassandra Greer and others. We came down there and go to these different camps, and we're trying to hide these contradictions, but that's why we need everybody. We need every man, woman, and child to work on this effort that you're saying. So I do agree that we do need to learn these laws so we can also heighten the contradictions and throw it in their face when they don't allow certain things, you know what I'm saying, to stand for us. Like in Florida, I remember a while ago, they had that Stand Your Ground law. That was the law, but it wasn't the same when it came to black folks.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Don't ever remember that part. The law, the law. Shit, we got to be considered. They don't even consider us as humans. They be in the state.
Check this out, Ryan. When it comes to the power that we actually do have, you know, Malcolm X said the ballot or the bullet. Let's start with the ballot because he said the ballot first. We have elected judges. Now I want to ask you a quick question, sir. If you go to a restaurant and you order a plain old order of French fries. And they burn your French fries or get that wrong. And you send it back to them. And you say, hey, these French fries are burnt. And they send you out another order of burnt French fries. What can the person who cooked them fries expect to happen? They're going to get fired, right? They can't continuously burn your French fries and mess up your order and mess up your food and keep their job, right? Now, let me ask you something.
Hold on, before you go there, in that same analogy, it depends what restaurant I get. What's going on? They might have been burning my fries intentionally because of the color of my skin.
Exactly. But when you complain
fries as a people for over 200 years.
That is true. Now, the question becomes, at the same time, with this being exposed under venues like this, but we actually get to talk and actually get to speak. And we say it's a goddamn shame that we got to sit there and haven't been eating these burnt goddamn French fries so long that we done got used to the taste of them. That don't mean it's regular. That don't mean it's normal. You dig what I'm saying? And at some point, these people, hey, if you don't get these orders right, if you don't get this food right, you can lose your job. My question is this. When you have judges who sit up here, and here's a brother, he sit up and he let a brother out after 25, 26, 27, 30, 35 years of prison under the oath, you were actually innocent. That means that, guess what, you got the trial wrong. You got the motion for reconsideration wrong. You got the first direct appeal wrong. You got the first post-conviction wrong. Why? Because, hey, if you had it right the first time, the verdict would have been not guilty. Or the judge would have said, you know what, I'm going to get this right. I'm going to let this man free. The evidence was wrong. The police testified instead of testified. You understand what I'm saying? But at the same time, we sit back. We will complain more about the person who burns our burger than the man who burns our bridges.
Think about that.
How wrong for how long?
And then, though,
at venues like this, and I say,
let's not get off the system, though. We fight a case right now where they lock the people up right now. They stand for a resistant arrest when they're not even arrested for nothing. How can you be resisting arrest if you're not under arrest for nothing? You see what I'm saying? You got people in there right now. And they saying if the pen come up here and kidnap you like we were saying and held you for ransom, you supposed to just take it. They say, why do you fight back and all that stuff?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, and you know what?
What I'm saying?
My voice, other venues like this.
Huh?
I'm saying it's venues like this to put light on that. And guess what? I know for a fact, when brothers hit up, laws change. They change slow. And they take resistance. They take voices. They take some people to knock. They take some people to bang. They need some people to write. They need some people to shout. But we must keep the faith that things can and do with effort and consistency change. And if we don't personally live to see the change, you know this probably more than any of us, sacrifices of self for the next generation pays off.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Yes,
that's
sir.
Right.
Hey, my brother Hoss wants to jump in because he has something to say to you.
Come on in,
I want to say I love you. I appreciate
it. Come on. It's always open for y'all, man. Free them all. You know I call, brother.
Freedom all, freedom all. You understand what I'm saying? I talk to you later. Love you, Chairman. Love your audience, too. Peace, all
right? Right on. Peace. Freedom all.
Chairman.
Freedom
all.
This is Deputy Field Marshal. This is Deputy Field Marshal. Chairman coming in soon. He in another meeting, but I'm holding it down. We live right here.
Okay.
Lewis can hear you, sir. Who are we speaking with? Let us know what's going on. Yes,
speak to Brother Hoss. Freedom all, freedom all.
Yes, sir. Them on.
Yeah, on that note, what that brother was saying, you know, he spoke, you know, on a lot of notes, you know what I'm saying? And here's one I really would like to go back and reiterate on, you know what I'm saying? Where you talk about where the judges sit there, how the judges sit there and just got everything wrong and they still got their job. That's kind of, you know, that's kind of bad, you know what I'm saying? Let's talk about the leak, you know, the people's mind, period, the common sense part. We tend to think, you know, us people as peoples seem to think that that's okay for them to do. You see what I'm saying? If they got that one conviction wrong, not just one, but they got another conviction wrong, not just two. And we seem to think that, okay, well, it took years, 20-some years to straighten out there, you know, to get it right. You know what I'm saying? Although he made the judgment and he still got it wrong. You see what I'm saying? But he's still on that bench. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Them people that need to be removed from off the bench. I'm in front of a judge right now who laid back out of a DUI. You know, she killed her kid in a DUI. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Angela Patron. Mm-hmm. It's a petition out on her, and people don't seem
What's
to realize that right there. And she, Angela Patron.
What's her name again, brother? Angela Patron.
Angela Patron. Yes.
Patron, okay.
A Cook County
yes,
Circuit Judge.
Yeah.
A Cook County Circuit Judge. You know what I'm saying? Petition out there on her. And she the one making judges. She seems to find, you know, that a no bond is good for me, and a bond for her is good for her to be on house arrest. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Here's a woman sitting there to her. She,
you have minutes remaining.
She disturbing what people does, you know, and they, you know, and they crying. I'm disturbed with what she done, her crime. She shouldn't be loose.
Come on,
you know?
Man.
But here, she's free. Hey,
real
this
tough.
All time right there, you know what I'm saying? We don't have much, you know, a lot on here,
man,
you know, but hey.
We appreciate y'all, brother. Whenever y'all call in, it's always open to y'all. We just free them all radio, man.
Hey.
Keep your heads up in there, man. And anytime, call in, man. We love y'all, man. Keep your heads up, brother. Free
them
all.
Free them all. Free them all.
Yes, sir. What's up, callers?
All right.
Free them all. Hello? Free them all. Callers on Q, press 1. If you want to be heard, if you want to speak right now, we also be celebrating again. I can't reiterate Mama Comrade, Okoye and Jerry, formerly known as Deborah John. Birthday coming up, November the 28th. We got another call.
Thank you
in.
For using Global Tellink.
Free them all. Call it Free them all radio.
Missionary Elmore.
There you go. I hear you now. Free them all. You're in and out. All right, we'll get back. Free them all radio. Who we got in? Free them all.
Diana Backstrom.
Free them all radio. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, you live on Freedom All Radio. You have something to speak on? Who we have here? Hello. You live on
Diana Backstrom.
Freedom All Radio. Freedom All. Welcome to Freedom All Radio.
Thank God for welcoming me. I'm Missionary Elmore. Thank God to be on the line tonight.
Okay. You press one. How you doing? You said this is who?
Missionary Floyd Dad.
How you doing? So you want to speak? You press one to be heard.
Hello,
can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, indeed. You're live and direct on Freedom All Radio. We ask you who you are and welcome to Freedom All Radio.
I'm Missionary Floyd Dad, and Pastor Davis
gave
us the number to call in.
Yes, indeed. Come on and call it. You press one. You have anything else? All right, we get back with you.
Hello. Pastor David on the line.
How you doing, Pastor David? Freedom All. Welcome to Freedom All Radio.
God bless you, Chairman. You know, the devil is a lie. He didn't want me to come on, but first of all, give an honor to God, who's the head of my life, and to the great Chairman Fritz, and to the impeccable, high-powered Mother Comrade. I come tonight on behalf of heaven. I come on behalf of the night of greatness. And I'm asking all that hear the tone of my voice that you would remember that there would be no Chairman Fred if it wasn't for Chairman Fred Sr. and Mother Comrade. And the only way that we can thank God for bringing us Chairman Fred Sr. and a son is to give a homage to his mother. So tonight we are dedicating this show specifically in her behalf. And we would ask that if you really love her, that you would show your love. Steve Harvey used to say, show your love. So we want to show our love tonight. So I'm calling tonight to start off. I don't know what you've raised or what you've done prior, but I understand that the Cash App says Cash App $ Alicia Sims. Is that correct? Is that the way that I submit my offering? So I would like to start off tonight with $100. And any of my members online, you might can't do 100, but whatever you do, I ask you that you would do your best. This is not an opportunity that we try to outdo each other, but it is an opportunity to do what Jesus did. He took 5 fish and fed an unlimited amount of people. So tonight, if you would just go into your house, and remember, Chairman Fred just ain't know anybody. He's given his life, his time, blood, sweat, and tears for the proliferation of our people. But it wouldn't be a proliferation if it hadn't been an emancipation. And we have a beautiful mother who is not only his mother, but she's his confidant. And maybe you don't understand what the Bible says in Ephesians 6:1-7. It simply says, honor your mother and your father. And because of the fact that Jim and Fred didn't get a chance to have a hug from his father, so we're going to give him a double potion. We want to honor mother and father tonight. So if you would be kind enough to submit whatever dollar amount, I'm giving 100. Maybe somebody wants to give 1,000. Maybe someone wants to give 10,000. We're not putting a limit to it, but we have unlimited amount of love that we would like to display on November the 28th. Do not hesitate to call. Do not be reluctant. Don't say, well, you know, I don't have it. Listen, if you'll play a lottery ticket in hopes that you win a Powerball, tonight you got the jackpot. Tonight is your night to shine. If you really want to show God how much you love your neighbor, participate in this momentous occasion. I'm excited about November the 28th because my mother's birthday was on the November the 30th, 2 days after. So it's a fire sign thing. You cannot have a fire without meat on the grill. If you do, you'll burn your grill up. So tonight, who wants to cook with me? Tonight, who wants to embark on something far greater than just a charcoal moment? Let's put some meat on the grill. Let's show our love. We're not asking for flowers. We're asking for donations to keep the Hampton House flourishing. The Hampton House is a historical place. And if you haven't been, you need to go. If you take your kids to the Museum of Science and Industry, take them to the Hampton House, where black folks live. If you really want to indoctrinate and embellish some greatness, get involved in this process. I beg you, before you hesitate to say, well, what are we giving for? We're giving for Chairman Fred's mama. I leave you with the words of the song. I'll always love my mama. She's my favorite girl. So I'm starting off with 100. Somebody, will you join me in my 100? 10 of us can make 1,000. 20 of us can make 2. And if somebody got it like that, hey, say, listen, we want to get 1 million. The bank is open in Jesus' name.
That's right.
My wife says, right. Sister David says she'll give 100. Sister David says she'll give 100. So that's, hey, 1 plus 1 make 2. Show me, listen,
that's right.
I'm like the auction. You know, hey, we can I get 3? Can I get 3?
Yes, sir.
I don't hear nobody.
Yes, sir. We ain't
got it in front of them. I'm sure they hear you, Pastor Dave. This W. Field Marshal is standing in for chairman tonight. He had another meeting outside of town. So he's trying to multitask. He said he's going to call back in if he can. But, man, we appreciate you, Pastor David, everything. You already know.
Hey, Deputy Field Marshal, much love and respect to you, my brother. You know, and listen, like I say, and I have the pleasure, Free My Own Radio, of being Chairman Fred Pastor. So I'm not doing it just because I'm associated with him. I'm doing it because I love him. And love is a verb, and it can also become a noun. And of course, it also can have dual function. So now we need to show our love, and our verbiage needs to be to participate in the love offering.
Yeah.
Deputy Marshall, so how many people have called in tonight, and where are we at? You know, this is they do the Jerry Lewis Foundation. Well, how are we coming tonight? Or have we had any pledges or anybody doing anything?
Well, as far as I got you and your wife right now that I know for sure that spoke up. We had a brother that was calling in today. The people we had call in, they was kidnapped. They was already locked up in 26 County Jail, so they probably ain't did nothing. I'm sure there's more people that's listening that's probably doing something. We can check back with Mama Comrade and see what's going on with that.
Please do. Please do. And for all those who are on the line, maybe you can't do what I did or what Miss David did, but you could do something. You can do something. So maybe if you just stopped and thought about what you're giving to, maybe you would be more excited about what you're giving for. The Bible says, honor your mother and your father that your life may be long in the land that God giveth thee. This is a commandment accompanied with the promise. We're not begging. We are asking that you would celebrate life and love, the legacy of the Hampton House. If you would pay money to take your children to the Museum of Science and Industry, how come you can't donate something to the proliferation of the Hampton House? Think about it.
That's right.
You say you love black folk. Well, then we talking about us now. If you're talking about greatness, we talking about us. We're not talking about some strangers. We're talking about somebody who has sacrificed their life.
Yeah.
And Chairman Fred said, he said, I'm going to die a revolutionary. That was awesome. The revolution will not stop. Radical behavior will not stop. Jesus was radical in clothes, and God was powerful being unseen. Tonight, step up and show your love. Do something. Don't take this for granted. Because when a person is no longer around, they don't need flowers. My grandmother said, when I'm gone, I don't need flowers. Give me my roses while I can smell them.
That's right.
We don't need the repairs. We need a party. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What's
up, Pastor Dave? We appreciate you so
much.
Yes, sir. I love you. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Dave.
You're most welcome.
All right, see you tomorrow. Yes, indeed. Thanks, Pastor Dave, for coming on and giving us that word. Man, anybody that yo got the Cash App, please, go ahead and hit that Cash App for Mama Comrade, according to Jerry, formerly known as Deborah Johnson. Yes, indeed.
We're going to go ahead. We got about like 20 more minutes on the show. I'm going to play something else by Chairman Fred. This is one of his speeches. We're going to see if anybody else want to come in. Y'all can press 1. Press 1 to be heard if you're on the station and you want to come in. We got some. Press 1 to be heard. Okay, we got 2 people that's pressed. Let me let y'all in before we play something else. Welcome to Free 'Em All Radio. Free 'Em All. Who we have? Welcome to Free 'Em All Radio. Free 'Em All. Free 'Em All. Welcome to Free 'Em All Radio. Free 'Em All. Welcome to Free 'Em All Radio. Free 'Em All. Can't hear you, caller. Free 'Em All. 708-519. All right, we'll try back again. Oh, was that them? Damn. I'm so, apologize, self-critical, y'all. We're trying to get this thing going. Free 'Em All. Free 'Em All. Did I lose you? Welcome to Free 'Em All Radio. Free 'Em All. Free 'Em All. Welcome to Free 'Em All Radio. Free 'Em All. Welcome to Free 'Em All Radio. Call us 708-567. All right, let me play this speech by Chairman Fred. We'll see what's going on. Hold on, before that, Chairman Fred Jr. got this speech right here. Love you, Mama Conrad. Free 'Em All.
The late great Minister UEP Newton said that the Black Panther Party were the ideological sons and daughters of Malcolm X. So that being the case, we're going to dedicate this to the sons and daughters of Brother Malcolm, who provided his people with an opportunity to stop the pleading and singing and lift every gun and stand. Revolutionaries with red books in hand and ready to ride or die for the party platform 10-point program with list of demands. Okay, now dig this. Oakland, California, October 1966. The birth of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. 2 cats with the names of Newton and Seal, dressed in black, fully strapped with bandoliers and berets. As opposed to those selling hopes and dreams, addressing the question of people's needs and producing soldiers who were no longer satisfied with living the life of a slave. But through our eyes and their political line, we were able to receive and believe in real role models as opposed to those that the state supplied. Quality cadre in which the committed were to be enlisted, and 16-year-olds the likes of those of little Bobby Hutton, dealing with the real world in a real way coming from our community and dealing with our realities. And as Chairman Fred said, some bad motherfuckers. Warriors like Sister Juan, the comrades, Big Man and Brother Stan, Captain John and Bunchy Carter. Clean spits of those that answer the call of the brave. The Deborah J's, Ade Brace, Babatunde's, and Spurgeon Jakes, Affinities, Kilus, and Asadas. Freedom fighters who formulated the first free breakfast programs to feed the youth, teaching us as opposed to preaching us by turning our communities into classrooms. Now here's the black cats that brought the spirit of Nat back, for today we celebrate in our way and take time to recognize the resistance and the rank and file and legendary leaders. To the Walter J's, a.k.a. Little Brothers and Big Moody's and Little Moody's and the Lynn's, Leaders and Regina's. To the Kathleen's and Gene McKinney's and Field Marshal George and D.C.'s. To Captain Franco's and Brother Geronimo's, who came to the conclusion of revolution and dared to declare to die to be free. For they provided a line that allowed for us to be spiritually inclined, while at the same time didn't leave us to be dependent upon superstition or that of state sanctioned religions. For this is organized resistance with free medical clinics that consisted of men like Minister Doc. This history should never be a mystery, and their contributions to the revolution should never be forgotten. As a matter of fact, stop the track, and let me get 5 seconds of clenched fists in the spirit of resistance. Now, before I proceed, let me say long live Minister UEP and the rest of the diehards. The Secretary of Connie, Soldier Sam, Ned Pierce, Chairman Fred, and Defense Captain Mark Clarks. Oh yes, the U.S. tried their best to discredit them and defame them as nothing but a street gang and decreed them to be public enemy number one. For committing the crime of being colonized and having the audacity to dare to pick up the gun. Now imagine all of a sudden the brutalities and realities witnessed by these victims of war. The experience of false imprisoning your comrades in body bags, I know if you're going to be the next one to become a corpse. The only difference that exists between this and the American foreign mission was that they were under domestic occupation. Being victimized by media lies, state-sensitized December 4th under the COINTELPRO and a bunch of more government assassinations. Now we would truly be remiss if we were negate to mention that we still got some cats that were kidnapped and are still in prison. But we must demand to be free the New York Three and the Soldiers in Gold, just to name a few.
The Mumias, Marshall Conways, Sundiatas, and Sinkus, and Odingas, Hugos, Matulus, and Maroons. Now in closing for them soldiers, let it be said before you go to bed, I am a revolutionary. To those that remain committed to resistance, clenched fists and solid sentiments of revolutionary love from a Panther Cub. With Chairman Fred coming to you live and direct from POCC.
Free them all, y'all. Free them all. Yes, indeed. We're going to keep it going. If there's any caller still on here that wants to be heard, press 1. Press 1.
I wear a mean dark pair of shades. And you can't see my eyes unless my head is bent.
As I listen to these media motherfuckers verbally assassinating, incriminating, playing on locking the fuck away. Two young black babies snatched from their mother's arms just the other day. Page one's WGCL, should I say WCPD. Being that they are willing and able to sign, seal, and deliver my young bloods over to the IDOC. Babies, yeah, you heard correct. In fact, 7/8. Picked up, isolated, interrogated, shook down, threatened, charged with murder, and then add insult to injury, even labeled with the crime of rape. All these Negroes and niggas is convicting them as a foregone conclusion. Based on what? Based on what? Based on what? Because the fucking pigs have accused them. Not the same pig department that framed and arrested Rolando Cruz. Not the same group of thugs that left Jeremiah Mayer they battered and bruised. Are we talking about the same agency that dropped two African babies, babies, man, you, off in the widely known racist neighborhood of Bridgeport, Chicago in 1988? Are you offended with the way I speak of your servants of injustice? Well, let me attempt to really seriously piss you off. In fact, take a seat, pick a number, and wait. Have you niggas gone insane? Have you niggas gone insane? Have you niggas gone insane? Have you lost your fucking minds? Have you forgotten December 4th, 1969? Area 1's Commander John Burge, the beatings, the torture, the electric shock. James Delaney, Aaron Patterson, the Wilson brothers, and the many other victims of the infamous Black Box. Not the same cruel criminals who trade guns for drugs and drugs for guns. Boom, boom! CHA police popped a young brother in the back and news reports claim that he tried to run. If these ski masks still told boot helicopter flying 4 a.m. in the morning raiding Gestapo's have somehow duped you into believing that they are suddenly interested in seeking justice for our children and for our communities, I recommend that you simply commit the offense of DWB. Be patient, nigga. Keep driving and you'll see. If you prefer to live and learn, I propose you strap up with your vest, but this is a school of hard shots and reality checks. And don't jive me with that few bad police theory. We are speaking on an occupied army, serve and protect shit. All I can remember is frameworks, kidnaps, murders, and misery. Turn our babies over to the enemy. No telling what they endure for those 4 hours of the third degree. I've seen this before, many times and many ways. From Atlanta, Georgia, South Carolina to Inglewood. Same program, only the names have changed. They're my babies, man, in every possible way. Speaking of which, Alderman Ed Burke will be needing back baby T, and we mean today. In Decatur, Illinois, you kidnapped my unique dream. Stole her from her people, robbed her from her family, abducted from her setting, and embezzled her from her natural scene. No other people would allow these crimes. Don't give me that child predator mumbo jumbo. Call it for what it is, uncut, upfront, old-fashioned American-style genocide. They're my babies, man. Mark my words over and over again and again. We must defend and protect them. Hold them up, stop the car, get your hands on my child, for we'll handle the discipline. Whether it be your brutal police force or your perverted preachers, your fucked up foster care, your brainwashing ass teachers. No more, no more, enough is enough. I'm sick and tired of this shit. You struck a nerve, motherfucker. We coming for SARS and moving in our baby's defense.
Coalition with anybody that has revolution on their mind. We're not a racist organization because we understand that racism is an excuse used for capitalism. And we know that racism is just it's a byproduct of capitalism. Everything would be all right if everything was put back in the hands of the people. And we're going to have to put it back in the hands of the people. Now, we say all power to all people. We say white power to white people. Brown power to brown people. Yellow power to yellow people. Black power to black people. X power for those that we left out.
We say Panther Power is a Vanguard party. When you leave here, you know what I'm saying? The last words, before you go to bed, and I say I am a revolutionary. Make that the last word. In case you don't wake up, then somebody might believe it, and you might, you know, end up in what they call a revolutionary happy hunting ground. Say that. I am a revolutionary.
They're constantly bothering the people. Anybody that's out there for the protection of the people happens to be in direct conflict with them. What makes them mad about it? What makes them mad about it is that they have black people and white poor people and red poor people and Puerto Rican poor people and Latin American Puerto Rican people of poor people of all descent. They have them caught up in movements based on racism when the Black Panther Party stood up and said that we don't care what anybody says. We don't think you fight fire with fire fence. We think you fight fire with water fence. We're going to fight racism, not with racism, but we're going to fight with solidarity. We said we're not going to fight capitalism with black capitalism, but we're going to fight it with socialism. We should have said we're not going to fight reactionary pigs and reactionary state attorneys like this and reactionary state attorneys like Hanrahan with any other reactions on our part. We're going to fight their reactions with all of those people to get together and have an international proletarian revolution.
Right on.
And that's saying all powers of people.
Right on.
That's saying that no matter what color you are, you're just only two classes. And that's saying there's a class over here and there's a class over there. And the reason that this class over here has never did anything to get this class off its back because this is lower, this is upper. This is the oppressed, this is the oppressor. This is the exploited, this is the exploiter. And these people in this class have divided themselves. They say, I'm black and I hate white people. I'm white and I hate black people. I'm Latin American and I hate hillbillies. I'm hillbillies, I hate Indians. So we're fighting amongst each other. And you've heard the testimony of pigs here. You got pigs of all colors. You know that. You got pigs that are white. You got pigs that are black. You even got pigs that are black and white.
So we always say to Black Panther Party that they can do anything they want to us. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the pig. You've got to make a distinction. And the people are going to have to attack the pig. The people are going to have to stand up against the pig. That's what the pastors are doing. That's what the pastors are doing all over the world. We know they have our pictures. We know they're looking for us. We know they want us. But we're still saying that even though we couldn't be in a fit, as far as this system goes, on the mountaintop, we in the Black Panther Party because of our dedication and understanding what's in the valley, knowing that the people in the valley, knowing that we originally came from the valley, knowing that our flag is the same flag as the people in the valley, knowing that our enemy is on the mountaintop, our friends are in the valley, we say even though it's nice to be on the mountaintop, we're going back to the valley. I want you to know that I want you to see. If you ever think about me, and if you think about me, niggas, and if you ain't gonna do no revolutionary act, forget about me. I don't want myself on your mind if you're not gonna work for the people. Like we always said, if you actually make a commitment at the age of 20, and you say, I don't want to make that commitment on this because of the simple reason that I'm too young to die, I want to live a little bit longer, what you did, you're dead already.
You have to understand that people have to pay the price for peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not to struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation. I've been gone for a little while. At least my body's been gone. You ain't got to repeat after me. At least my body's been gone for a little while. But I'm back now, and I believe that I'm back to stay. I believe that I'm going to do my job, and I believe that I was born not to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die from splitting on a piece of ice. I don't believe I'm going to die because I got a bad heart. I don't believe I'm going to die because of lung cancer. I believe that I'm going to be able to die in the thing that I was born for. I believe that I'm going to be able to die high off the people. I believe that I will be able to die as a revolutionary in the international revolutionary proletarian struggle. And I hope that each one of you will be able to die in the international proletarian revolutionary struggle, even in being living. And I think that struggle is going to come. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people?
It's Roll One Frompson interview with camera left, Fred Hampton.
H-A-M-P-T-O-N, Deputy Chairman of the Illinois Panther Party. Camera right, David Hilliard, H-I-L-L-I-A-R-D, Chief of Staff, National Black Panther Party. Gentlemen, what do you think the demonstrations on the first day of the trial accomplished?
I think that they were very educational in the sense that they exposed further the fascist characteristics of the courts in racist America. What happened to Babbitt today was very characteristic of Nazi Germany. The judge, Julius J. Hoffman, is the champion of fascism. The man is a mechanical fascist in a robe. He's a lunatic, and he needs to be removed from the court system.
Well, those are words. I mean, specifically, what is it that's bothering you about the judge and what happened in the courtroom?
First of all, the man is an old, senile fascist, as I mentioned. He's not a man that's capable of rendering any justifiable decisions in anybody's regards. I think he's proved that many times. So we see that the only possible way that Bobby can get a fair trial in any courts, not just in Chicago, is by having a jury of his own peers, and that the only justice would definitely be rendered when the people themselves make decisions in regards of revolutionaries.
Are the Panthers concerned with the other seven defendants as well as Bobby Seale? You mentioned Seale's name specifically.
Bobby is our leader, and we're most definitely concerned primarily about Bobby. The other seven defendants were involved in the so-called conspiracy, and we see them as being a very necessary factor in the case. But we're not going to put all of our weight on those individuals. We need our leader. Bobby is the leader not only of the black community, but the man is the leader of the white community, too, if those people are talking about moving in a revolutionary fashion. We don't make distinctions between the white and black communities. These people consider themselves revolutionaries, so we say that they will have to react from a revolutionary standpoint of view. We don't support their anarchist strategies that they're so used to exemplifying, but we are concerned about those individuals.
Do you think that there is more that you agree on and disagree on as far as the white, middle-class, radical left and the Panthers?
We'll deal with that.
I think that we agree with a lot of things they do, but I couldn't say it with more things than we disagree with, you know. And when you say that, it's hard to say, and I don't even know if I want to say that really, because that's a hard question to answer because it's not specific enough. You know, there's so many groups. You have to get more specific and talk about specific groups and specific people. Because, like he said, there are a lot of people that are anarchists. We don't support that in any group. And I think that's the criteria we should use for judging people. You know, and I think that's the criteria we have to use for judging organizations, you know, that whether or not they, you know, support the ideology of spontaneity or whether they believe in, you know, revolutionary theory, you know, and putting that revolutionary theory into some type of revolutionary practice. And, you know, but some people don't do that. Those people that don't do that, and not saying whether they're more or less, those people that don't do that, we can't support that. We can't support anarchism on the part of blacks, whites, reds, yellow, anybody else. And I think that a lot of this, what we call anarchism, you know, I think is, you know, on the borderline. A lot of it is even past the borderline of being a provocation instigated by some of these pigs. You know.
I think that we should reiterate on your first question. First of all, Bobby, as I stated earlier, is the leader of what the people consider a vanguard organization, and that they earned that role not by choice, but through many lives that have been lost as a result of our struggle. So that the other individuals involved in the trial or the conspiracy with Bobby are people that will have to take directions from people that have engaged in struggle and have obtained the vanguard role through their very actions. The very fact that these individuals are involved in a case with our chairman seems to reflect sometimes at critics from individuals sort of a racist attitude, and that the whole trial could be very dangerously damaged if people see it in that light. So we most definitely do not advocate a split to that degree. All we want to do is to make sure that these people get a day in court where they will be judged by a reasonable, sane person and not a lunatic like the judge that he's got, you know.
What you're saying is you expect a conviction.
I'm saying that I expect a conviction not on the merits of the case, but because the man up there is not capable of giving anybody any justice. I think that the reason he's maintained his position so long is because of his kangarooism, because of his ability to railroad people through the court systems. I see that the whole systems of America is being stockpiled with lunatics and psychopaths, with fascists, all the way down from Attorney General Mitchell. And this is what we have to face, and I think it's up to the American public at large. I think that our position in regards to the other individuals in the trial brings on whether or not they're able to follow decisions handed down by people that are considered as the vanguard, and whether they accept that or not is a matter of fact. And that one of the criteria that they could use for judging whether or not we're the revolutionary vanguard is extended with the invitation to the Algerian cultural festival, whereas only the Black Panther Party was extended invitations out of all the other black organizations in America. So that when these people begin to refuse to follow directions handed down by leaders of the American Revolution, then we see them as being somewhat anarchist.
Well, are you saying that there's a difference in view about tactics, specifically in your relations with the police? In other words, what the radical whites are doing as compared to what the Panthers are doing?
There's a most definite difference. These people oftentimes promote situations where numerous of people are maimed, are brutalized, are killed, and we classify this as being criminal. And criminality is something that we definitely are opposed to, and that's why we take our uncompromising position against the police. So when they move in directions like that, they're actually part in part moving with the forces of repression.
Well, would you say that the demonstration today was in any way a provocation to the police or not?
Yeah, I think it was definitely propagation of the police, you know, because, you see, it was made clear through all the people that spoke for the Black Panther Party that we were down there for one thing and one thing only, to show massive support around Chairman Bobby Seale. And if anything, when there were even a chance, when there was even a chance of an outbreak, the party tried to quell its outbreak with its field marshals and the people that was on the microphone at the time that the outbreak occurred. But even with all of the vigilance that the party had displayed, and most of the black people in the crowd, we still had some anarchists, whatever you want to call them, provocateurs, people that tried to overshadow what we were trying to do down there for Chairman Bobby. And even today, this evening, I found a situation where people in the in Babylon are trying to overshadow some of the good that the Black Panther Party is trying to do. And we're supposed to be opening up a free medical center with absolutely free medical care for the people on 16th and Springfield, west side of Chicago. And a group of people on the west side of Chicago told us that they didn't want us to open that medical center, a group of young people over there. And they didn't give us any logical reasons that they didn't want us to open the medical center, except that this area that the medical center was in, quote unquote, they ran it. This was their turf, you know. And what I'm saying is that there's nothing about the medical center that is not good for the people. And we don't know whether we're going to open or not, because we're not going to allow anyone to belittle us or to grab us by our revolutionary coattails and drag us down into humbug and gangbang style of attacking the problem. We're going to open the health clinic, no matter where we open it, we're going to open it, and we think that the people in that community will force these provocateurs and these idiots
to allow the health center to be open in that community because it's going to do nothing but good for the people.
Well, specifically with regard to what's been going on around the federal building and what's likely to happen the rest of the week, and even in the future, as long as the trial goes on, what are going to be the tactics that the Panthers advocate? Are there going to be more demonstrations?
We certainly hope to show massive force. We hope to surmount our numbers daily in the same reflection that you saw with the Huey Newton trials. This is one means for educating the people about the conditions the black people are subjected to within the fascist judiciary system of the United States of America. But I think the high points of what we're talking about could best be summed up by dealing with the criminal situation that we've been subjected to, not just with our coalition, with our white counterparts, but more so with the judges, with the people that supposedly run the federal buildings. The federal building is a public facility. We have to obtain permits in order to have people come and witness the terror and the fascism that's being meted out against members of our party, and we're going to stop obtaining permits. The people have a right to be there, and we don't have to beg or ask them to give us approval for checking and seeing how they're passing decisions against our leaders.
What are you suggesting that you're going to do?
We're suggesting that we're going to be there in numbers, whether they like it or not.
Outside the building?
Outside and inside the motherfucker.
You're going to try to go inside the building without passes?
We don't have to have passes to get in there. The building is a public facility. It's supposed to be a building that represents the attitudes and the goodwill of the people. So we're going to make them exemplify that particular area of our Constitution. They cannot lock the doors on us. The people have violated all Bobby's constitutional rights, and we want the masses to be there to judge that situation as it is.
Given the situation as it is, wouldn't this be the kind of provocation that you want to avoid, you say you want to avoid?
We're not going there for any provocation. If people were going to war, I'm most certain that they would have guns.
Well, I'm all, y'all. That's the show. Tune Black with us next week. Same time, same channel.